Now we're recording.
Now we are recording.
Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Welcome to
episode 15.
Shortcomings.
Shortcomings. And before we start, I have something that was really bothering me on the way here. In last week's episode, we talk about calling cards at one point. And while you were editing it, you texted me and you were like, we talk about calling cards for way too long. And I'm like, yeah, just cut it out. Like, it doesn't matter. And then yesterday, you were also like, you throw a lot of shade at me on this podcast. Let me remind you, Mike edits the podcast. So if you, don't ever feel bad for Mike, because he picks and chooses what goes in there.
That is true.
So that's all I'm going to say. Okay. That is me defending myself for anyone saying I'm mean to Mike. And also, he yells at me a lot if you listen to it. He rushes me.
Hurry up. So we're talking about Shortcomings. This originally was September 12th, 1999.
Okay.
Directed by Dan Algrant.
Hey, Dan.
Daniel is what he usually goes by. He directs three episodes. He directs the next one. He directs an episode in season three. He wrote and directed a film called Naked in New York, which was kind of what I think his like calling card was.
Was that a porn?
No, it was just an independent film from the early 90s. Written by Terry Minsky. She also had she wrote The Baby Shower.
I remember that.
She does a lot of writing. She did a lot of writing for like Lizzie McGuire and Less Than Perfect. And she just has a show called like the Andy Mank Show.
Okay.
That I've never heard of before. But she's a very active writer. DVD description. When you sleep with someone, are you also sleeping with the whole family? Carrie dates a short story writer only to become more emotionally attached to his family. Meanwhile, Miranda dates a divorced father, and Charlotte, who longs for her brother to work out his marriage problems, finds him sleeping with her good friend, Samantha. So we kind of start out, I guess, talking about worst nightmares.
Right, and I was just like, the gym is my worst nightmare.
Yeah, the gym just in general is a terrible place to be.
Everyone has a worst nightmare. For Miranda, it was family hour at her gym.
And then you bring family hour into it.
Which is not, I feel like...
I don't think it's a thing.
I mean, the gym that I used to go to had a daycare. Like, a lot of gyms have daycares or, like, places for... I don't think... Just for insurance purposes, they would just have a bunch of kids running around.
I do notice that as the camera pulls away, someone is spotting Miranda.
Oh.
But she just walks away from him.
Yeah,
so
she's over it.
She's done with that.
And also, we notice as they do a pan that they're at a New York sports club.
Yeah.
But they take yoga at Equinox.
Yeah.
So either they have a lot of money or someone has a lot of Equinox guest passes or they know the teacher.
Yeah.
Which also may explain why they don't... like go in the right costume.
Yeah, they didn't know to wear the white.
But yeah, that was just something I noticed that Miranda, which proves, you know, Miranda is like more budget conscious because New York Sports Club is a more budget friendly.
Correct. Still gym. A very nice gym.
Still a very nice gym, but I'm saying Equinox
much,
is like.
Yeah, exactly.
Very.
Much
you know,
more lavish.
Yeah.
We get to the elevator and we meet Roger Cobb, played by Daniel McDonald, who is not with us anymore. He passed away in 2007 at the age of 46.
Oh, wow.
He was an actor. He has a ton of credits. He was nominated for a Tony Award for Steel Pier. I think that was like Steel Pier. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 1997. Yeah.
Deborah Monk.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah.
It was a great cast.
Karen Ziemba.
Yeah, Scott Ellis directed that. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember, but he must have been the male lead.
He must have been. And he's so handsome and so charming. He's great in this role, even though I will get there. So the little boy likes to push the button.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it, please.
Is there a problem?
No, it's just that he really likes to push the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, real quick. That little boy, Simon, is played by Jake Burbage, who, Grounded for Life?
All right.
I want to say, Dora the Explorer. Yeah, he's like a voice on Dora the Explorer.
Oh, great.
So he's like an active actor.
Yeah.
What's really funny is, we'll get to it, but like studying the end credits... I was like, who is Simon? Like, I have no idea who this character is. And then I realized that it's this little kid.
See, what's interesting is I watched this on Amazon Prime, and I have an Amazon Fire Stick. I have an Amazon Fire Stick. And so when I press pause at the bottom, it tells you the name, it gives you their headshot, and what actor is currently on the screen.
Wow. Okay, well, you might need to go back and use that. But we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
So he likes to push the buttons.
Ugh. And he mentions that, you know, they're dealing with a D-I-V-O-R-C-E. And I think right. that Simon is probably old enough to spell.
Yeah, probably. He probably knows what that is.
And, like, also...
He mentions being an overindulgent father of divorce, basically. Right.
And then, you know, she gets off the... He asks her, like, if she's divorced or if she's married. He's flirting with her.
Your kids?
Yeah, no.
Married?
Once again, like, Miranda... is like, I admire Miranda because she must, like, she has no problem getting picked up, like, just everywhere, you right. know? And I think that has a lot to do with having self-confidence. I think people notice that, and I think that's something that I lack. So I kind of, like, before I was like, why are you wearing that awkward outfit with mom hair and getting picked up? But now I'm like, good for you, Miranda.
Yeah.
And she's about to get off the elevator, and Roger Cobb is... like, how much, you know, convincing do I have to do to let you have another ride on this thing? And my immediate thought was, like, is he talking about a ride on the Roger Cobb D train? But he just meant the elevator.
Just means the elevator. We're getting up time to ask her out. Mm-hmm. So we get to four ladies at brunch, and they're sort of talking about, like, used men or mm-hmm. divorced men.
I don't wear vintage clothes. I hate flea markets. I don't collect antiques. Is it too much to ask that he not be, I don't know, used?
Okay, before it goes any further, just make sure his parts are still under warranty.
It's like chewing somebody else's gum.
You know, damaged goods.
Damaged goods. And I just think about the fact that the older you get, the more baggage there's gonna be. You know, like, at a certain point, you're not gonna be marrying someone who hasn't been married before. And you're probably not gonna be with someone who... probably doesn't have kids, you know? Right. It's just sort of, that's what happens as time passes.
I'm getting to the age where my friends, not all of them, but some of them are getting divorces, yeah. which is strange to me.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, this was a while back when I went to my 10-year high school reunion, and I said to someone, like, oh, it's just like everyone's going to be married, and the person said back to me, like, no, everyone's going to be going through a divorce, which was really true. Yeah, you get to a certain point where... we're all damaged goods. We're all used a little.
Mike and I have this joke because, like, I'll tell him stories about, like, my life. And this is kind of fun, and he'll edit it out and tell me to hurry up. But I was actually thinking about this on the way here, too. You know, Mike and I were very good friends at work, but we didn't, like, hang out a ton before we did this podcast. So I was thinking about this on the way here. Like, we have almost developed, like, learning more about each other as we do this.
That's true.
And... the other day we were talking and I was telling you about this thing, like this severe anxiety attack I had and like this crazy, like these crazy ideas I had of like how I thought like it was just an insane story I had for him. And when I was done, I was like, so on what date do I tell someone that? He's like, maybe wait. So it is. It's kind of like we all have these things that we're like, I'm going to tell this person this thing.
Yeah. At some point, but not right away necessarily.
Not right away. Not on the first date.
So we get to Charlotte talking about her brother, Wesley.
And his wife, Leslie.
Now, this is just names that were done to be silly. And it's fine. I'll allow it.
And I hate Carrie in this scene. Because she's like, the marriage by Mother Goose. And then goes on to say, like, does he work for Nestle? And she thinks she's being really funny.
Yeah, no, she's cracking herself up. Yeah, it's a joke that is a bit manufactured, but okay.
Yeah, that whole scene I just thought was, like, pretty manufactured.
So we meet Vaughn Wiesel, and we have mm-hmm. the reappearance of Justin Theroux, who was Jared in The Monogamous.
And he must have gone to a waxing salon.
He got that unibrow taken care of. And they're supposed to, I think they're going to a movie, but he has to drop something off.
Right, but as she's approaching him, she says,
as for me, rather than sort through the half-off bin, I was dating someone brand spanking new.
Her outfit looks like it's from the half-off bin. She has a tie-dyed shirt on, a pastel print skirt that doesn't match it, with a Vera Bradley bag. It just looks like it was like she found a three-year-old and said, just dress me in your favorite things.
Well, it's funny because I guess because it's Carrie, it doesn't strike me as weird at all.
It's starting not to now, but as someone who doesn't know the show and doesn't know what her fashion evolves to be.
Right.
I sometimes just watch this, like, No one told her that didn't match?
Well, it's funny because it turns, like, he has to go drop this stuff off, and then he wants to introduce her to the family, and she makes a comment of, like, I'm not dressed for family.
Right.
And I kind of thought, like, you're just, I don't know what dress for family means.
Yeah, I don't know if you're really dressed up in your own special way.
Come on in, this will only take a sec.
Oh, no, 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 oh, God, no, I'm not dressed for family. Can you just maybe drop him through the mail slot?
Yeah, so then we meet her whole family.
Yeah, Valerie Harper. Mm-hmm. Yay. The mother, Wallace.
She loves Carrie Bradshaw's column. So,
like that.
Yeah, this is when we're starting. You told me earlier that we're going to start to realize throughout the series that people do know who Carrie Bradshaw is. Yeah, people know
she calls her an icon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty cool.
There's a lot of bagels.
We meet the father, Duncan, played by David McCollum. We meet Zoe, played by Meg Gibson. Meg Gibson recently did a trilogy of plays at the Public, the Gabriels, about it's a year in the election. I believe I have it on my DVR and I have never watched it. Maybe it's a different trilogy of plays, though. But yeah, so she's a stage actress. The daughters, Franny and Zoe, I mean, yeah. it's a bit much, but she has the comment about...
What can I say? J.D. Salinger used to get me high.
Franny, played by Colleen Weatherman, I don't know. She's a writer for The Daily Show and for Larry Wilmore. She's been nominated for 3 Emmys.
She's dressed as Sporty Spice.
She's just like, how would a lesbian talk? Like, it's a little bit much.
Hey, who brought a girl?
But it's funny, I suppose.
Duncan, the father, asks, once he finds out who Carrie is, meanwhile, the whole scene, he's holding this plate of, like, decorative salmon. Right. Like, Duncan, put the salmon down.
I really want some lox and cream cheese.
But he won't put it down. good luck. There's also some, like, random olives scattered on it.
I teach a seminar at Columbia on cultural zeitgeist. I'd love to have you come speak.
Yeah, so Carrie thinks it was great. Yeah, she loves it.
Went really, really well. She got a new column, and she got a gig out of it. So then we go to the park where Miranda is dressed as Carrie.
Yeah, and I was like, Miranda's got a two-piece, like, sassy outfit on that I really like.
No, it's super, super cute.
I was like, this is a super cute outfit,
It definitely
Miranda.
Struck me as just more of a Carrie outfit.
Oh, absolutely.
So, have you ever gone out with someone who had a kid?
No, but I've never gone out with someone I met on an elevator either. So.
Well, that's a first for me, too.
They're having a nice walk in the park, and... I just wrote that kid should be put down. I know it's not the kid's fault. I know he's a kid.
I was surprised that they brought the kid on the first date.
Yeah, well, maybe he doesn't have a babysitter. Maybe, I don't know.
But I think that's also, like, that's for the kid. I don't think the kid should be there. Like, right. I feel like it's okay for parents to date, but on the first date...
Right, like, how soon do you want to introduce your kid to,
like, then the kid is coming in and out with all these women, and, like, I understand, like...
So maybe that's what it is.
Props to him for being a single father.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe find... I know that I'm going to get slack for saying this because Miranda is a very busy woman, but I was going to say, I'm sure he has time when the son, Simon, is doing something or at baseball or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a... And then he has the line about how, like, he just likes to be settled down.
Right.
Which is fine, but it doesn't really jibe with the parenting that seems to be happening here. I don't know. It's very, very odd.
They call it the heterosexual holy grail.
Yeah, she calls him that to his face. Which I feel like is a little bit much.
Which I thought was like a collared shirt and like a Patagonia vest.
And he brings her a worm.
Yeah,
it's
gross.
It's just awful.
No, thank you.
Okay, so here we go. Now we meet Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Played by no one. There's no credit.
Oh.
IMDb doesn't list him. The DVD that I just watched doesn't list him. I went to the HBO app and it doesn't list him. This guy is nowhere. Jack, I don't know how to say your last name. Mulcahy. So he has a credit under his name, but if you follow that link to the episode of Sex and the City, he's not listed anywhere there.
Oh, funny. But I just did a quick, like, on Google. It's definitely him.
Yeah, it's definitely him. Yeah, so I don't know. Someone dropped the ball somewhere.
Right, someone didn't put him on there.
You figured it out, but I think it's very, very odd.
Yeah, very accomplished actor, and Charlotte's made some really good-looking muffins.
Those muffins look really good.
They look like the kind you get at a deli, like with the crumbly top.
And he just wants a drink, so she's trying to, like, fix his marital problems.
Wesley needs a cocktail.
I can't believe you were willing to just throw it all away so easily. I mean, relationships take work. You need patience and understanding.
Charlotte, when was your last long-term relationship?
Oh, just eat your muffin.
And then we have a very short sex scene.
It was inevitable this would happen. I just didn't know it would happen so quickly.
Vaughn is a little overstimulated.
Right.
And this is a real thing. I personally have not experienced it, but I have a friend who was with someone who had this particular situation. So, yeah, super, super short scene. Vaughn is not able to...
She's like, let me get you a tissue.
I know. And it's a little womp womp. But it doesn't go on very long. We get to the... So we cut to three women eating really weird-looking salads.
Mm-hmm.
Get out now before he stains all your sheets.
Oh, come on. That's harsh. It could be he was just nervous.
First time is always weird.
And he probably had something to drink.
And we just spent the whole day with his family.
Right. And she's like, I don't want... I love his family and blah, blah, blah. Right. And like...
Samantha's very into get out of there. She's referred to as the General Patton of sex. She doesn't want to send her troops into battle if they're not going to succeed.
Right. And I love that she says, I fucked a guy because his family had a pool. And then she says his mom used to make us Kool-Aid and, like, give us Kool-Aid and chips. Carrie's like, Kool-Aid? She's like, I was 13.
It's a little disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, it is a little bit troublesome to me.
Because at first I was like, oh, I fucked a guy because his family had a pool. I was like, okay, that, like, maybe, you know, college.
Sure.
And I was thinking about, like, oh, that's... Because, like, I remember as a kid, it would be like, you're only friends with her because she has a pool. I didn't have a pool. We had a slip and slide.
I did not. I think we had a slip and slide, too.
And, yeah, I was third. Which, like, once again, Samantha maybe, like, could benefit, as we all could, from therapy.
Yeah.
She's got a Percodan. She wants, you know.
It's a little, it is a, I don't know. It made me a little bit uneasy, but okay. And then we get to the question.
When you sleep with someone, are you screwing the family?
Strangely worded, but yeah. Okay, we'll just go with it.
I guess it makes sense. Well, I think when you're in a relationship with anyone, you're in a relationship with...
Sure, but I think I would have phrased it as, when you're dating someone, are you dating the family?
Right.
I feel like screwing the family is a little bit much. Maybe when you break up with the person, are you screwing the family?
Because I think on the other way around, too, if someone you're dating, if their family is absolutely terrible, like, that could ruin
it. For sure. So we have Carrie and the mom.
While I was still on the fence about my feelings for Vaughn, I had no doubt about my feelings for his mother. I was in love with her.
Then we were in Nicaragua with the Peace Corps. That's where Vaughn was born.
She talked about how frank and honest her family has always been about sex, which I guess maybe we're getting to a part of the
issue
there.
But they weren't necessarily... She wasn't... I was like, oh, where's this going to go? And she just was saying how she was anatomically correct with, like, saying not pee-pee or wee-wee, which I've talked about before.
Right.
So I was like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. She's not, like, saying that they come home and swap stories.
Right. Just that they're an open, like, they, right. They're a frank conversation kind of household.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte and Wesley are out to have a drink. She is expecting Carrie to show up.
But here's the thing. Earlier in the episode, she mentions about, like, when you meet Wesley to the whole group. So she's very, like, disappointed in Carrie that Samantha has joined.
Yeah.
And
maybe she meant it like, sure, you'll all meet him, not really meaning it.
Right.
Because she's clearly upset that Samantha has come along.
Wesley is not.
No.
Why is she here?
That's our friend. I believe you remember Samantha.
Yeah, Wesley's not upset at all. It becomes pretty clear pretty quickly. But it's a little bit on Charlotte that she... So he mentions, like, we might go out to this jazz club and have another drink, and Charlotte just wants to go home.
Right.
Which leaves him going with Samantha on his own. It's a little bit... Charlotte was a little bit of
you
a contributing
You know how the story ends.
Yeah, exactly. It ends with... Well, first we have Miranda and Roger in bed. This storyline... This is a very quick storyline. We're going to put this to sleep quickly. So Miranda gets up to pee. This is all just messed up. Like, the kid tries to come into the bathroom. She... in a panic, shuts the door, ends up hurting the kid's head. Roger's very, like, he might need stitches, and she offers to go. She really does everything right here.
And also that, like, I don't know how that wound was caused by what happened.
Unless, like, maybe the metal part, I don't know. It's very odd, but all that I put is, dodged a fucking bullet. Like, it's fine, just get out of there. That was never a good situation.
Right.
So that's the end of that story. We put that storyline to bed pretty early.
One thing about families, if no one's sorry to see you go, then you're probably not coming back.
And then we cut to Samantha pantless in the kitchen.
Being like, where do you keep your coffee filters?
Just tell me if I'm warm.
And I was wondering, at first I was like a little bit surprised that Charlotte drinks chock full of nuts. Because that's what I drink that, but it's like cheap.
Well, it's also very New York.
Oh, okay. Because I it's like cheap coffee, but I drink it.
I used to do chock full of nuts, but I thought I kind of did it because it felt like very New York.
Oh.
I was like, I'm a New Yorker and we drink chock. I don't know why I thought that, but
I
like
did
that
it
was
it's like the small cans 250 key food.
Yeah. And then we have one of my favorite lines.
Is your vagina in the New York City guidebooks? Because it should be. It's the hottest spot in town. It's always open.
That's really good.
No, it's not.
Oh, I think it's so, I mean, it's so rude. It's horrible. But
it's like a your mom joke. It's not good.
Your vagina is so popular.
Yeah, like, it's not a well-written joke.
Oh, I think it's so funny. But it's just really mean, and obviously Samantha, like, is out of there.
Right.
And Wesley's unhappy about the situation as well, because obviously he enjoyed himself.
Who asked you to butt your nose into my... Samantha, wait. Samantha, don't go!
We have another quick short sex scene with Carrie and Vaughn, which is kind of just a repeat of the first one.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
She eats another tissue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then we get right back to Wesley and Charlotte having a conversation, and Wesley saying that he hasn't had sex with his wife in 2 years.
I was just like, sexy talk with brother is gross.
Well, here's the thing. You really got a good friend there. I just, that's such a weird thing to say to someone, like, your friend gave me some really good sex last night. Yeah. You should be really appreciative of them. It is weird.
Because
like it's
not like Charlotte's going to go and, you know, like, cash in on
that.
Yeah,
Samantha's I should check this out.
I mean, Samantha would be down for it, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Didn't she say that in the three-way situation? Or was that the other way around? Anyway, someone was into someone. But it's a really weird, bizarre. So Charlotte goes to see Samantha with a basket of muffins that, once again, did she bake those really quickly? Or maybe
Well, her brother didn't eat any before. He just wanted vodka. So, and they're like wrapped up in a towel. I don't know anyone that actually does that and brings a basket, but
it looks very pretty. It looks very Charlotte, though.
Yeah.
I could see Charlotte doing that. Samantha has her nice comeback.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have another tour group coming through my vagina in 10 minutes.
So this good is job. Really getting you.
I think it's so, I don't know why I think
I
it's
must
so
be working
funny.
Too hard on my material. I can really dumb things down for you, I've realized.
It's true. Just get a good vagina joke in there. We get to Miranda at the gym, where she is reclaiming her space.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind? He really loves to push the button.
Yeah? So do I.
Yeah, you push that button. Good for you. Not super into kids. I'm not sure if you're getting that.
Yeah, Mike doesn't want children.
Around me in general.
Oh, not even... Wow.
No, there are a few that are fine. If you're listening to this, your kid is the one that's fine. So we got to Carrie reading his book, which is called Fresh Shirts on Tuesday.
Hmm.
It also doesn't look like a book at all. Like
no,
it looks
like a
mock-up
manuscript.
Yeah, it looks like a manuscript. It does. Maybe it is, though. Maybe it's like the galleys or something like that, and she's reading a early copy of it, which might be why it looks so weird. So they kind of get into it again. She wants to take it nice and slow. He very petulantly says, why?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to be like, all right, yeah, I get that you want to, like, deny or ignore things that are an issue and that might embarrass you.
But this can't be the first time
this
happened.
It can't be. And it also is just the beginning of him turning into a child. And there is just nothing less sexy than a man behaving like a child.
Unless you're into that thing.
Unless that's your thing. And then it's super hot.
Unless you like the adult baby thing. And then I guess this is like right up your alley.
It's just gross to me. And he just becomes petulant and like, I don't want to talk about it. I've been talking about sex. Meh. Like, it's just so gross to me. This is the beginning of the end, clearly. Yeah. So we get back to lox and bagels and cream cheese. And we meet the other girl. The lesbian daughter, Franny's girlfriend. Jenna, played by Mireille Enos, who I love. She was nominated for a Tony Award for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Mm.
I think she might have also been nominated for, I'm totally going to say this play wrong, but I think it's Absurd Person Singular. Is that what it's called? Something like, she was so funny in both of those. She's now famous because she was in The Killing. She was the female detective in The Killing.
Oh, I saw that.
And she was also on a short-lived series recently called The Catch.
Was The Killing didn't take place here, though, did it?
No, it took place in Seattle.
But it was a show from...
It was a show... It was based on, like, I want to say, like, a Danish murder mystery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they made the big mistake... This could be an entire podcast of its own. They made the big mistake of telling us that we would know who the killer was by the end of the first season. And then the end of the first season was a big, like, ha-ha, not really. And so people just did not watch season two, even though I will say that it's the most... maybe the most satisfying ending to a murder mystery that I've ever seen before, if you can get through season two. It just should have been one season. They just kind of, like, messed with viewers and pissed people off, and then they did a third season. At some point, Netflix bought it and did, like, a fourth season that nobody watched, which was unfortunate, because it was a very good show to begin with. But yeah, there we go. So she has a very small part in this. I love Mireille Eno. I think that she is exceptionally talented. He's being the petulant baby who can't find the scallion cream cheese. And
that is my favorite kind.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I'm not really a scallion person, but to each their own. I do have issues with smoked salmon flavored cream cheese. Let's keep those separate.
I have issues with anything seafood salad-y.
Or anything that's meat flavored. meat is fine, but when it's meat flavored, I'm a little bit...
Coming from the guy who used to eat 99-cent deli meat. You can edit this out so you don't sound like an idiot.
So, it's the whole thing of, what happened, and... So he's acting like a petulant child, and Carrie decides that it's time for her to leave. So she gets up to go, and Wallace stops her on the way out to say, what happened? And, of course, she already knows what happened.
Which is weird.
It's weird because some of his girlfriends haven't been so discreet. I will also say that Carrie's I just can't talk about this with you, but you can read about it in a week or two in my column. So I don't really know how that conversation works.
Some of his girlfriends
works.
Haven't been so discreet. Do they come over and they're like, your son?
And the irony of him.
Your son shoots his load in 1 minute.
The irony of him writing short stories.
Okay, this has officially become too weird.
Really? In a situation like this, you gotta laugh.
And it just is really all about, in the end, it's not about breaking up with him. That relationship is clearly over. She has to break up with the mom, which is hard because they do have a connection. And
It hasn't been that long.
It hasn't been that long. But I remember watching this thinking, I hope we see her again. That is a lovely...
Yeah.
Their connection is lovely. And, we're never going to see that character again.
Mike!
Well, we're just not. It's just in those characters
I don't believe you anymore. You lied about a lot of things so far.
So it's a sad breakup scene with the mom where she has to say, of course we'll see each other again. And it's kind of a sad parting. And the mom has the whole, you'll never date someone with a mother as cool as me. And it is sad. And we sort of get to, family and the family that you make for yourself, which mm-hmm. is a very New York thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a big thing, but it's very much New York is where people sort of create your families. And Carrie runs into the girls.
Did you cry?
No. But I have decided that there was a conversation at some point where the girls were like, let's have lunch. And Carrie had to say, oh, I would, but I need to go to this family thing. So she knew where they were. I'm just saying, I don't think she happened upon them at that restaurant. And then, we get together. We get some improv of Carrie telling the girls what happened mm-hmm. as Diana Krall sings a song and we fade to black. It is also, I think, sort of a rare instance in which a storyline is shared by two different characters.
Right.
So each character, all four ladies got to go through a thing in this episode, but two of them were kind of on the same storyline, which I think is interesting. So we got what we sort of often refer to as the most unlikely pairing of characters, and the characters that will most frequently have issues with each other are Charlotte and Samantha, but they got to have kind of their little journey together, which I think is nice. So I think I liked this episode. It is a lot about Miranda and Carrie dealing with men who turn out to be kind of not great.
Right. And once again, when the episode started, we realized Carrie had been dating this man. So who knows how long it's been. But they've been
days
and days as the episodes go on. You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine texted me today to say that her friend has been listening to the podcast and is a huge Sex and the City fan. But listening to our podcast has caused her to rewatch the series again. And she's like, rewatching it now, I realize how kind of cheesy the first and second seasons are. And I don't know if watching it now, if I would have stayed with it. And I don't know. I feel like it was also 20 years ago.
Right.
So maybe even though this girl is in her 30s now, maybe if she was in her 30s 20 years ago, she still would have watched it.
Yeah, I think so. I think the show was still just so groundbreaking in its presentation of single women and sexuality that I think that it wouldn't be the same now because the world isn't the same now. But I think that for what it was, I've said this already. I think that the first season is fine. I think the second season is pretty good. But we really, I'm so excited to get to seasons 3 and 4 because it just gets better. I mean, I just feel like they really figure out what they're doing. So it'll be fun as we continue our journey. So there you go. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to eat, a salad or something.
Oh yeah. We're going to go eat salads. Mike's hungry.
All right. Bye.
I'm not.
You're not?
I am, but I don't want, you know what, people, I have to be a lady about these things.
Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review.
We'll be back next week with Was It Good For You? Because, well, he's listed.
All right, we're going to have to do a lot of editing here.
I know we will. And he has a ton of credits.
Should we just start by saying, played by, and just cut the part that it's a mystery?
I'm leaving the mystery in.
Mike's leaving the mystery in. Building mystery.
Anyway, I just thought it was very, very strange.
And I love that, like, they're all talking about, like, I don't really know how it comes. What are they talking about here? It's your vagina. Well, you're just going to edit it in anyway, so never mind.
Oh, you can say it, though.
Is your vagina in the NYC guidebooks? It's the hottest spot, always open. I also forgot to mention that they say, you know, something about it's Charlotte's way of saying thank you, or, like, the muffins, or it was just Charlotte's way of, like, it's, like, Charlotte's way of saying thank you for fucking my brother.
Yeah.
Like, I just, there's a lot of, like, and maybe it's just, maybe, I'm not saying it's wrong to discuss, I don't know. I just can't imagine, like, never mind, I don't want to talk about it.